Okay, thanks everyone for joining us tonight, whether you're live or listening to the recording later on. And please accept my apologies for last week. I had a bit of a tumultuous week, so thank you so much for all of your patience and your understanding. I'm feeling much better. Okay, so for today's session, begin to, if you haven't already, make your way to a place where you can either sit or lay down. And really rest and be undisturbed and soak this all in just for you. This is your time for your healing. And beginning here by means of breathing, taking some slow, deep inhales and exhales. Begin to use every breath as an opportunity to release and let go. And now feeling yourself sink even deeper into that cushion below. Okay, and as I invite the group energy in, there's just a sense of real slowness and real stillness. And it's actually embodying this energy of hesitancy to commit. Hesitancy, pardon me, hesitancy to commit to change. And to really honor the understandings that have been coming to you in the last couple of weeks, whether you've been doing everyday exercises or whether or not you just listened to the first session or anything in between. It's looking at there's this like backlog, inability really to integrate to the fullest extent that's being blocked. So I'm seeing a few different things light up for that. I've got the sacrum coming up first. This is thought to store the backup to our genetic code. I've got the sternum coming up. And right along with that is the Yang Wei Mo meridian. So this meridian helps to defend against microbes, but it also helps to shift paradigm shifts in beliefs and attitudes. So we're looking at redefining some patterns here and especially those areas of the body that are going to be hanging on to those old patterns are going to be the hips, the joints, the eyes, the ears, the sides of the body, the bones, actually, in general, throughout the entire musculoskeletal system, as well as the immune system. Okay, so there's this apathy and resignation here to life could be no other way. Specifically, being stored in the eyes and the ears, and an unwillingness really to see another way. So, that resistance we're actually going to link to the brain so the brain can see it so you can move through it. And here we're going to begin to use this energy of anger that we explored with one of our exercises. To be used in a very healthy way to create this movement. Often we put more energy into making excuses for why things are the way they are and justifying how things are versus turning that around and using that same momentum to find another way. Okay, next we've got the hips through to the lumbosacral joint where the low back joins onto the sacrum. And the kidney meridian in particular is popping up here, and specifically as it relates to financial burdens and financial stress and feeling like it's all on him, the inner man, to provide, not feeling so supported. And certainly not feeling very connected to the opportunities, to their, again, fullest extent possible. So to help address that, we're interestingly enough going to do some work with the astrological houses. And we're going to bring in here the energy of the fifth house. And it's the fifth house that gives us our creativity, our pleasure, our social activity, along with our inner child. So it's really through play that we begin to take life less seriously, and that's when our other options begin to turn up. So we're going to link that through to the sixth house, which is the house of service, with practical assessment of health, of finding ways to serve our body to provide that healing energy. So this energy of service can only really come through pleasure. Often practical action and service are seen as very humdrum, boring. You got to pay the bills, got to go to work, kind of energy. But really, what's practical comes initially from a sense of play. So it's finding the same ease within the vertebrae in the low back, within the lumbosacral junction, with the throat, the hips. And next up, it's highlighting the zygoma, fancy talk for cheekbones here. And it's often thought that the zygoma are the controllers for our limp, which carries all of our low self-esteem. And we actually need to just energetically realign them and shift them. What I'm seeing is that the left is higher than the right, and it's trying to jut out and be more prominent, almost like creating a defense, like inviting a slapping of the face. Ironically. So that defense is certainly backfiring. And then on the other hand, the right cheekbone is hiding. It's trying to be invisible, doesn't want to be seen, and it's this idea of I should dismiss myself before I get dismissed. And it's also got the energy of I don't want to be here. There's some pretty strong depression. So we're going to move this forward, releasing the depression, the sadness that's been weighing it down. And then we're also on that left cheekbone, we're going to do an emotional release of rage. And that's going to drop it back down into alignment, not needing to find a fight to prove itself, but rather to simply be accepted as is. That's linking right into that immune system, which works with our acceptance and rejection of ourselves. And it's followed up by hydration throughout the entire face. So finding this sense of joy of the cells absorbing the water. And literally bringing up the sexual energy right to the face from the pelvis to optimize this sense of I am, this sense of presence, the sense of being here. Okay, and as that happens, I'm seeing a pretty big shift for the Daimon meridian. That's that beltline meridian that wraps around our waist. And it's pretty happy to release now. So it can create some havoc with everything on its path there in the midline of the, well, where a belt would run all the way around. And it can create undernourishment through to the breasts, through to the chest. And often there can be really strong migraines that go with it too, as well as things like a near to tears type of frustration, low self-esteem, indecision, etc. Overall, it correlates to a repression of strong emotions. Which is interesting because the Yang Wei Mole meridian that we addressed earlier also can help to facilitate those paradigm shifts that are needed with that repression. Okay, so I'm literally seeing the body now open up right through that front body. There's a new circulation happening through the feminine. There's not feeling quite supported by this exploration of the masculine. And there's almost a sense of relief. It's like, well, finally, everyone's been exploring me, looking at me, trying to blame me for being the problem, trying to develop me when I need some balance. So she's taking a nice deep sigh of relief here. And every exhale with that sigh is carrying out anger. Anger for being seen as the problem, quote unquote. And we're going to repair that relationship between feminine and masculine by linking pituitary gland, which is the feminine, to pineal gland, masculine. And we're also going to hydrate these endocrine glands and all their hormones. All right, loves, we're going to tap here. Give yourself some slow, deep breaths. Okay, that's looking very good. Okay, so we worked with the Yang Wei Mole Meridian. Now we actually need to work with the feminine one. The balancing here, because these two really balance out the yin yang balance. This is the yin wei mo meridian, and these two really address everything from masculinity and femininity through to life and death and transitions involved in aging. So by balancing out this meridian now, we're actually needing to look at this fear of aging, this fear of I didn't get everything done in my life that I should have by now. And that anxiety is being stored right in the heart energy complex. So including the physical heart, the heart brain, the heart chakra, and the shen, the spirits of the hearts in Chinese medicine. So this yin wei mo meridian is really the one behind what gives us the ability to respond with compassion, to just have a sense of clarity, and to take in life with a certain sense of meaning and feeling like you're here for a reason. They can rule everything from the legs to the nervous system to the cardiovascular, musculoskeletal, and digestive systems. And really it's balancing both yin and yang, or feminine and masculine, at every single level here. Okay. And we're going to give this its own little mini body talk session. We're going to a certain age, actually it's three different ages. Ages 1 at exactly 12 months, and at 14 months, and then at 3 years of age. And we need to address certain belief systems, events, fears that all came up around these specific ages. So we're actually going to go in reverse chronological order. We're going to take a look at age 3. And here there was this fear of not getting your needs met. And just like people say the terrible twos are a factor in, you know, stress for parents raising them, usually the threes are even more challenging than the twos, or for many are. So here we actually need to look at this fear that the three-year-old has simply of not getting their basic needs met in terms of the mental emotional levels. So the temper tantrums, the meltdowns, all of that really just stem from this fear. And I'm hearing specifically the belief system of I won't be heard, why bother trying to communicate? I'll just shut down instead. And then let's go to the 14 months. There's a belief system here. And it's actually that sex is dangerous. And it actually comes from overhearing mom and dad and not really sure how to interpret the noises, how to interpret the energy. Because there was this not necessarily willingness, so to speak, on everyone's part. It was more just, we're supposed to do this, let's do it. It didn't come from a deep loving urge to honor the other or to honor the sexual energy. Okay, and then we're going to go into 12 months. And here I'm actually seeing, for some reason, at the age of 12 months, there was this inheritance of our word for body talk is a secondary matrix, meaning there's this identity that kicks in at 12 months, that there's something wrong, and literally the words are, I am evil. And that's somehow being associated with the belief system that to be evil is to be alive. It's all stemming actually to the Catholic religion. So even if you weren't raised Catholic, I'm betting somewhere in the seven generations back, there was a little bit of Catholicism in your family lines. And there's this very strong, like, hell and brimfire, brimstone kind of approach to this particular one that also sets the stage for anxiety, for deep fear. And it's actually setting the stage for needing to continue to prove your worth. So here the homework is, where does your self-value really come from? That'll be a very good question for you to explore. Where does your self-value come from? Linking into general consciousness, big four, which is everything from how it is you think others see you and your beliefs on mortality and finding enthusiasm and inspiration versus having to, you know, find desire to reach a goal. It's seeming like it has to be effort rather than just naturally, spontaneously bubbling up. To taking a look at all the control issues, judgments, inhibitions, and views on self-esteem and how it is, again, you perceive yourself, and linking them all into individuation on this theme. Individuation is the process of peeling back the layer of who it is you think you are, the fake, the false self, to figure out who you really are. Okay, and again, we're going to tap this in, so taking those slow, deep inhales and exhales, breathing here. Okay, very good. Okay, next up I'm seeing three different planets, Mars, Venus, and Saturn. So Mars and Saturn are the masculine, Venus the feminine, and they're marching much like they're in an army. And Venus is feeling a bit hijacked with Mars and Saturn on either side of her. So it's really highlighting this need for a gentler way, this need for affection. And even though there's a sense of order and harmony here, it's finding it from a more gentler perspective. Instead of thinking that you need to punish yourself or discipline yourself or beat yourself up or do one more thing, anytime you feel yourself going through that habit pattern of self-punishment, we're going to run Sidri to get right into the understanding that what needs to occur is the exact opposite. It's the gentling and the softening. So if any of you have a yoga practice, you know you certainly can't muscle your way into a posture. You've got to find the softness in it to get the flow, to get the relaxation, to get the release. So it's running a Sidri here on this masculine-feminine interrelationship, needing to hijack and force versus gentle and soft. And this Sidri is going to continue actually for the next 3 weeks. So that's pretty much until the end of our 30 days and actually about a week after it. So Sidri stands for C, circulation of all the basic healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, and lymph drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, as well as our sensual and sexual energy, our chi, our vitality, our consciousness, our awareness, and right down to that subatomic particle level of the electrons, protons, neutrons, and solitons. And there's also going to be hydration here. We're going to bring in the satellite of Mercury, which rules our intellectual curiosity to find another way, and it helps to bring in a level of discernment. It's going to root it right into the left brain, the masculine brain, to bring it right up into consciousness so that awareness can't escape us anymore. We know there can't be any other way. And then that's followed by a defrag. Much like we defrag a computer, it is finding a spring clean of the home to really clean this house out, leaving no stone unturned, throwing out the trash, putting everything back in its home, and then the rest of the formula can work on what remains. Reevaluation, recontextualization shifts the underlying belief systems. It gives the perception a new opportunity to be seen in a different way. And often our thinking gets stuck. We put ourselves in a box and we think that there's no other possibility. So here it's taking the walls of that box down and looking for another way. There's always another way. Integration and introspection will follow that. That's like the surrender, the release, the letting go. Okay, so in parallel or at the same time, we need to do some work with the organs here. And there's a couple of different connections that need to be made. We need to get the lungs and the heart on board, working together to process the ability to respond to harmony and not necessarily, well, do its old habit pattern of, oh, that feels kind of good. I'm just going to reject that. Stop it. I like it. And we also need to link the small intestine into the spleen. So small intestine is all about our discernment, our intellect, our awareness. And when it links into the spleen, this is our subconscious mind. It stores all those collective types of habits that have been set down through the family lines, through the culture, etc. So we're bringing in a sense of conscious awareness into the processing that's happening in our subconscious mind so that we can really truly bring this into a sense of enlightenment. It's actually highlighting the gallbladder's physiology of digestion of the fats, and it's using it as a metaphor for chewing the fats and there being some annoyance or irritation or anger at that. So it's done at just being superficial. It's ready to dive really deep and go for it now. Okay, and that's linking into the 12th house in astrology, which is the death of the false self. It's the destroying of the masks of who it is you are. It's the house of endings. And it often needs to do so at the level of the intangible. So it might not even make sense as to what's ending or why it's ending or how it's ending. But there needs to be that release, that death. And we're going to tap this right on in here. So taking some slow, deep breaths. If any one of those organs, lung, heart, small intestine, or spleen stand out for you, feel free to place a hand there and breathe right into them. Okay, excellent. Now to help integrate this, we need to do cortices to wrists. The wrists are the areas of our body that like to hang on to the old and prevent us from really stomaching, the stomach meridian rules it, or digesting life. So when they're healthy, they can give way to a lot of flexibility. But we also need to make sure that they're not going to get over-flexible. I'm going to link them into the liver, which carries those natural healthy boundaries that are there effortlessly for processing. Now the liver is also in charge of our fascia as well as our connective tissue, as well as our Wei Qi, our energy layer that surrounds our entire external body. And there's some hang-ups here, both at the level of the fascia, just as it meets the lower levels of the skin, as well as the Wei Qi, and the Wei Qi actually attaches to that same region. And there's a sensation of really needing new skin. Okay, so this looks a little gruesome, but here's what I'm seeing in Mindscape. And it's highlighting the literally like the removal of the old skin, just like you would dissect a cadaver or any creature and literally peel back the layers of the skin. Okay, and as I do that, it's like the sensation of, if you've ever had a facial, it's like that really great feeling when you walk out with brand new skin and it feels so clean, so clear. But there's this sense of a newness. Very strong first house energy, which is the beginning again, the rebirth, the finding the new way. And with that concept, the ovaries and testes alike are lighting right on up. And it's working with this life acceptance understanding and linking it right into the heart. Okay, we're going to tap this in. So breathing here again. Okay, very nice. And I'm seeing just one more exhale sigh from the feminine, releasing that last little bit of anger. And both masculine and feminine are totally relaxed now. They're holding hands and they're walking out. So, session is complete for today. Now, taking a look at your breathing is going to be really crucial to help integrate the work that we've done today. So, honoring that exaggerated but gentle, slow, deep breathing is coming up as really great homework. Even if it's 10 times in a row, 3 times throughout your day, or whether it's, consciously reminding yourself every time you walk through a doorway to take a slow, deep breath, whatever it may be, find a way that's going to work for you. So see what feels right by getting really into that breath and becoming very conscious of it. That is going to continue to serve. If you know your Ujjayi breathing in yoga, then go that direction and honor that, not necessarily in a physical yoga practice. I mean, do it there as well, but also throughout your day. Okay, I'm not seeing any other homework. So thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I really look forward to hearing any feedback. Please do let me know if there's questions, comments, queries, or if there's observations that you want to share. Don't hesitate to send me an email, a phone call, a text, or a Facebook. Okay. Thanks so much, everybody. Have yourself a wonderful Tuesday, and we will meet again in a couple of nights on Thursday. Same time, same place. Okay, love to you all. Bye for now.